Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, it's Ask Me Anything Monday. I give you two specific reasons why I'm optimistic and hopeful. Share this with your friends. Text it with your friends. Make sure you're subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Just take your friend's phone. Say, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to type in the Charlie Kirk Show and hit subscribe. He's going to be happy and optimistic and forward-thinking and factual and rational. That helps out our show. Every new subscription is a gift to us, truly. I want to thank some other people that give us support, people that are behind us at charliekirk.com/support. I want to name some of these people by name because you bless us so much. I want to thank Richard for generous support from San Antonio, Texas. I want to thank Randy for generous support from Sacramento, California. I want to thank Russell for generous support from Westlake Village, California. Great friend from there. Doug is terrific. I want to thank Sharon from Littleton, Colorado, all supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Maybe you guys have some extra stimulus money laying around. Maybe you say, you know what? I want to do something with what God has blessed me to help reach millions of people every single day. And our mission is really simple. We believe our country is in the wrong trajectory. We want to change the trajectory by reaching young people with the truth, all people with the truth, with two podcasts a day, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, giving 300 speeches a year. We do radio, we do podcasting, but you know what? We are never going to give in. And if you guys feel moved by that, and this podcast has impacted your life in any way, and you say, you know what, Charlie, I hear you. I want to help you. It's charliekirk.com/support. And I want to thank the people that already do that. In fact, I learned so much from our listeners. We have this monthly Zoom call, and I feel like it's a learning lesson for me. These people come up with these amazing ideas. They say, Charlie, how long until we have woke passports? I said, that's an amazing idea. I said, that's so true. This other guy came up with an idea. He said, the Major League Baseball will call. He said, don't you have to provide an ID? I learned, as Anthony from New York. He's a great guy. I see all of his emails. And by the way, I read all your emails. I don't respond to them all, and I'm touched by them. And so anyway, if you guys want to get in on that monthly call, it's a lot of fun. Become a monthly supporter at charliekirk.com/support. I am moved and I am blessed by all of you that get behind us and do that at charliekirk.com/support. And as always, Turning Point USA, maybe you want to go to our Young Women's Leadership Summit, tpusa.com/YWLS. Two reasons why I'm optimistic. I get specific. Was America's founding like every other country? Why won't Joe Biden do a State of the Union address? And should we keep on spending foreign aid or sending foreign aid around the planet? That and so much more. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
When running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and more. And HR manager salaries are not cheap. They're an average of $70,000 a year. Bambi, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain all of your compliance, all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month-to-month, there are no hidden fees. Cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. Let Bambi help. Get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambi.com/Kirk right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambi.com/Kirk. Spell BAM to the B-E-E .com/Kirk. Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. Big week ahead. Also, I want to share some news. We are now live every single day on WABC in New York City, 77 on your radio dials. It was the home of Rush Limbaugh for quite some time, AM 77. It's a huge honor. And so we still deliver this podcast content for you two times a day. On top of that, I'm also doing 2 hours of radio every single day. And so if you guys are in major cities across the country, Chicago, Dallas, Atlanta, New York, ever in the car, you might be able to catch me on radio as well, but the podcast is the best. And so I want to just share that news with you. And for all of you that support us at charliekirk.com/support, that's why I am up very late right now on Sunday evening, getting the AMA done for Monday morning to make sure that you have your questions answered. And this weekend, I got some pretty bad news. Sunday afternoon, a dear friend of mine and mentor, someone who was a very generous donor to Turning Point USA, had given millions of dollars to our cause. But more than that, he was such a clear thinker, and he was sharp. He was tough, loved his country, but someone that I truly adored and someone we got along so well. Tom Patrick, he passed away this past weekend. So that's been tough to deal with. I know a lot of you are dealing in many different seasons of loss. Tom was fighting with a lung condition for a couple years, and he fought very, very hard. He actually helped run Merrill Lynch back in its heyday in Chicago and New York, did some of the great merger and acquisition deals. He taught me more about politics, real politics, than almost anyone else. He was so wise. He was able to ask the correct questions, and he trained me from a young age. And so, miss you a lot, Tom. But he has a great grandson, someone who's very special, and just wanted to share that with you. And it's been tough. So if I'm a little meandering here or whatever, that would be why. But this one's for you, Tom. All right, first question. Blake, hey, Charlie, love the show and what you're doing for the country. My question is about the State of the Union address, or in this case, the traditional address to the joint session of Congress for a first-year president. How are Joe Biden and his handlers getting away with avoiding it? Where is the media and their push for transparency and accountability? Is there any reason not to believe that they're avoiding it because Joe Biden is incapable of presenting a coherent thought? Thank you for your thought or your insights, Blake, Hendersonville, North Carolina. Well, congratulations, Blake. You win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. And thank you for sending in your question. You didn't show that you were subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show, but I'll let this one pass. So, Blake, it's a terrific question. And Joe Biden is not constitutionally bound to give a State of the Union address until next year. Whether or not he gives a State of the Union address remains whether or not the House will invite him. Technically, the House of Representatives invites the president to give an address, and then the president accepts to go address a joint session of Congress. However, President Trump gave a joint session of Congress address back early in his presidency that was just called an address to Congress. This is part of a growing theme that Joe Biden is willing to break the customs and the traditions that predated him if he is not totally pressured to do so. There is no push for transparency. There is no media that is actually asking tough questions of Joe Biden. In fact, it's the exact opposite. We have a media that is acting like the communications arm of the White House. We have a media that is not investigating Joe Biden or investigating anyone in the White House. Instead, we have a media that is basically publishing the press releases of Jen Psaki and Joe Biden. Now, what's the significance of this? It's annoying. It's frustrating. But it's also really bad for the country. If a media is not asking the correct questions, if the media is not putting together freedom of information requests, if a media is not seeing where the money is coming from, then corruption and tyranny will run wild. Thomas Jefferson famously said, "If I had to choose between a government without newspapers and a newspapers without government, I wouldn't hesitate to choose the latter." Meaning that Thomas Jefferson would much rather have newspapers without a government to cover than a government without newspapers. Now, some would say, "Oh, well, we still have newspapers." No, what Thomas Jefferson's really saying is a press that holds the government accountable. A press that asks the questions, a press that gets in front of a president and says, "So why haven't you visited the southern border? How many people are crossing every day? Do you know those numbers? What about the terrorists that have actually crossed into our country? Why are people from Yemen and Armenia coming into America? Why do you keep on hiring lobbyists even though you said you wouldn't? Why are you pushing multi-trillion dollar infrastructure packages when we're on pace to borrow $5 trillion this year? Are you worried about inflation? Why did you put Kamala Harris in charge of the southern border? Have you talked to your son about the federal investigation he's under? Have you talked to the current attorney general under that criminal federal investigation or about that criminal federal investigation? What's Merrick Garland's stance on that? Are you going to pack the courts? Do you think D.C. and Puerto Rico should be a state? These questions and so many more would be asked hourly by the press in front of Donald Trump's White House. Instead, we get questions such as, so tell us about the restaurant that Kamala Harris visited recently. You know, we joke around and say it's a lapdog media, but it's actually very dangerous because the theft and the plunder of our country is happening now in plain sight, and the media is covering for it. The media is not covering any of the actual crises that's happening in America. Small businesses declining, the mental health issues happening in our country. Instead, the activist press is enjoying the fact that they won. They have a certain worldview and they are happy. They are pleased. They are content that they no longer have to cover this government. As Thomas Jefferson again said, if I had to choose between a government without newspapers, which is basically what we have a government where no one is holding them accountable. Now, we have this program. We have Fox News. We have Tucker Carlson. We have a couple other very courageous people out there, but we do not have institutions. The Washington Post, the New York Times, USA Today. Now, what conservatives should have done a couple decades ago is conservatives should have bought a bunch of newspapers and made sure they did not have an aggressive leftward tilt. There's a great story that actually came out this weekend, and I've been predicting this for quite some time, and I'm not the only one that has been saying this, but it's very important, which is, why buy a yacht when you can buy a newspaper in the New York Times? And my fiance, who's listening to me say these words, is smiling because I've been warning against this for quite some time, that buying media companies is the new purchase of the ruling class. I don't need a yacht or another private jet or another 20,000 square foot home in Aspen, Colorado. No. I'm going to go buy the New York Times. Think about how helpful that is for a rich person. If someone like Jeff Bezos, you already have six mansions. You already have private security everywhere you go. You fly private. You eat the best of the food. Everything you can imagine is yours. But the one thing that might keep you up at night is a bad news story. The one thing that might keep you up at night is a journalist, a muckraker, someone diving deep into your story. So why not go buy a newspaper? Why not go buy a media institution? Why not go buy a channel of communication? That's why the Washington Post, where it says democracy dies in darkness, they're not looking into Jeff Bezos. In fact, we now have a media that is for sale, which is so hilarious to me because the Democrats and the socialists of the Democrats, they always used to warn endlessly about powerful people influencing our media, which is why they wanted to build National Public Radio, NPR, taxpayer-funded, government-subsidized media communication. Same with PBS, public broadcasting stations. Well, we now know the tilt that they have. They are more liberal than the New York Times because the people that were staffed by it are no different than the people that staff our universities. And so to go back to the question of, is this just another example of a lack of transparency? Absolutely it is. Joe Biden has done one press conference. One press conference since he has become president. They are trying to run the country in the shadows. Their new strategy is put a blumbering, incoherent man in front of a cameras once a quarter or once or twice a year and hope that Americans want to go back to sleep. And I understand a lot of you listening to this, and maybe not if you're listening to this, but a lot of your friends are exhausted. They say, I'm done. Enough of this politics stuff. The noise, the division, the confusion. You understand that's all a strategy, right? You understand the Democrats are using that, the left, the Bidenites. I've never heard anyone call them the Bidenites. I guess that's what they are. The Bidenites. Erica likes it. The Bidenites. You know why they're doing this? They are trying to waterboard an entire civilization. Now, waterboarding is a graphic example, but it's a true one. Waterboarding is what was very controversial back in the early 2000s after 9/11, where we used to put terrorists' head underwater to try to get information out of them until they cried mercy. They cried uncle. They said, no more. Said, I'm done. What is it going to take? There's so much noise, and Joe Biden's trying to create the noise through the activist press and the confusion and the media. He wants people to disengage. He wants you not to care. And the press is helping him. If people actually knew what was happening in our government right now, it would make the BLM Incorporated protests look like a ripple. But people are enjoying not caring. People are enjoying their vacation. They're enjoying their lack of responsibility because no one's demanding it. So everywhere I go across the country, I had a great speech this last weekend at Dream City Church, and we were in Vegas last week. We were in San Jose last week. Thank you for those of you that came out and supported us and came out. We had 1,500 people in Silicon Valley. I encourage you to listen to that episode yesterday. And if you want more episodes like that, please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. My main message is not just don't give up. That sounds very cliche. Instead, it's they want you to give up. See, that's a different message. The message is they're counting on it. They are doing communication strategies. They are implementing certain things in our media to try to say, you done? Can you tap out? Their fundamental transformation and takeover is only complete when you give up. So the question about the State of the Union is a really good one. The deeper point, though, is that there's no pressure on him because the media has decided they enjoy what's happening. Now, the question is, and the reason I brought up the billionaires purchasing media is this profitable? The answer is no, unless they're subsidized by the ruling class. See, the Washington Post, they don't care about profits. They have the richest man on the planet that will cover their $20 million shortfall every single year. They have the richest man on the planet where $15 million for a couple reporters to go investigate Trump, but of course not investigating Amazon. Isn't that interesting? When was the last time there was a real expose done on Jeff Bezos? I'm talking about a serious piece of journalism. When was the last time there was a real piece of journalism done on Google? A real piece of journalism. I'm not talking about a press release or, no, I'm talking about talking to former employees. I'm talking about getting in the weeds of Google's monopolistic ambitions and aims. When was the last time that was done for Microsoft? No, because the ruling class purchases the media in a variety of ways. They either own them or Google spends millions of dollars of advertising with these companies. So they go to the New York Times and they'll sit down with their ad department and they'll say, hey, we're going to go purchase $15 million of ads a year in the New York Times. Then they'll walk down the street and say hi to the editor and a wink and a nod, and he'll tell his investigative reporters to instead go after Mike Lindell than Google. Let me ask you a question. Who's a bigger threat to Western civilization, Mike Lindell or Google? In fact, we like Mike Lindell. So every time you go to MyPillow, make sure you use the promo code Kirk. Buy lots and lots of pillows. Use the promo code Kirk. I'm not kidding. Those of you guys should do that. The point is that the New York Times has convinced you that Mike Lindell is a bigger threat than Google. Maybe Mike Lindell should start buying advertisements in the New York Times. They'd stop going after him. I don't think they'd accept his dollars, though. Nor do I think the people who read the New York Times are going to want a beautifully made pillow that you can get at MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. So are you making full use of your savings? Think of the times you've yearned for better returns. After real inflation, charges, and taxes, are you even making a profit? With food, clothing, and rent all more than doubling over the last 10 years, you need to do something different. Gambling on Robinhood or stocks might lose you the lot. And like thousands of others, you want to retire stress-free. A precious metals IRA with Noble Gold could be the answer. And this month, Noble Gold is gifting a genuine, rare, Carson City-minted Morgan Silver dollar with every qualifying IRA or 401k. These coins were around in a time where an ounce of silver was worth a dollar. For example, in 1893, a mint-condition coin is now worth more than $3,250, a staggering 325,000% increase. That's a return of over 2,500% a year. This is the power of long-term precious metal investing. So get in touch with the experts at Noble Gold and talk through your options today. That's noblegoldinvestments.com or call 877-646-5347 and mention the Charlie Kirk Show special offer, noblegoldinvestments.com. Hey, Charlie, Eric here from Pennsylvania. My professor is telling me there is nothing unique about the American founding. In essence, can you help explain to me why America's founding was different and the unique approach it had? Thanks so much. Well, Eric, you did everything right. You win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. I was just listening to some comments from Thomas West from Hillsdale College. Terrific. And we spend 2 hours a day, phones off, just studying and learning so I'm able to clarify the news of the day for all of you and answer your questions about this. So it's actually very opportune. that this question came across, and I selected it basically and mainly and partially for that reason, I should say. America's founding was different because it was liberty-seeking people deciding to push back against tyranny, comfort, safetyism, to go to something uncertain. The American Revolution was not about tea. It was not even about taxes. It was about consent. The American Revolution was about consent. The American Revolution was a moral claim that you can't rule me without my permission. You understand most of the rest of the world has no grasp of that whatsoever. The American Revolution and the Constitution that followed it was about making it hard and nearly impossible to take people's rights away. Your right to life, your right to liberty, and your right to own property. We talk about it as the pursuit of happiness. You go back to John Locke, it was the right to property. You go deep into the U.S. Constitution, it's a beautiful document. What is beautiful? That which is perfected in being. That's what beauty is. We're going to do an entire podcast on beauty soon. Because I don't think we talk about that enough. In a world where you say there's no difference than right and wrong, then is there anything between beauty and something that isn't beautiful? Some would call it ugly. I don't love that word. But that which is not beautiful. And I don't mean beauty in the terms of what we talk about on movies or Netflix. No, I'm talking about a beautiful piece of music, a beautiful piece of art. Anyway, we'll get into that in a future podcast. But the Constitution is a beautiful document. And in the Constitution, it clearly says that if you are to be deprived of your money, your property, or your freedom, the government must make the case against you. That's the presumption of innocence. You're free. Now, if you screw it up, there's a way that we could take it away from you. You're free, and if you start to take other people's liberty away from them, and that's basically what a crime is. Here's a good question to ask your fifth grader. What's a crime? They'd say, well, it's doing something wrong. Nah, that's not always a crime. For example, lying is not a crime. What's a crime? Taking someone else's natural rights away. Someone's property away. Carjacking, that's their property. That's a natural right, your right to own property. The ultimate unthinkable is taking someone's life away. How about someone's liberty away? You go break someone's leg, that's illegal. There's other types of crime as well. Lying to a federal agent is illegal, and it should be. But there are things that are wrong that are not illegal, nor should they ever become illegal. That would be probably an over-enforcement of the security state, mostly from peer-to-peer type stuff. For example, if you were at a dinner party and all of a sudden you started acting like a jerk, started making a lot of noise or talking too much, that's not illegal, but it's not necessarily right. So that's a big difference. Now, let me be very clear. Every single one of our laws is that which is wrong, but also a crime is that which is taking people's natural rights away. That is such a clear way to articulate it. That's not an exhaustive definition, but that was how the founding fathers viewed law enforcement. The founding fathers viewed law enforcement and laws as equal protection and due process. What is equal protection? What comes from a biblical principle that neither slave nor Greek nor Jew, we are all one in Jesus Christ. That the poor man has the same rights in front of a judge and a jury as someone who is wealthy. And due process. What is due process? Due process is a deliberate system where you cannot be deprived of your money, your property, your freedom without that system finding you necessary to be deprived of that. So the founding fathers created a system, and actually, I'm going to get to the title of this episode of the two things that give me hope right now. There's all this depression, and it's, by the way, I have more than two things, but I want to focus on these two things. I like lists, by the way. If you notice, our episodes have four of this and three of that. Someone asked me, Charlie, why do you like lists? I say, I'm doing a hat tip to the first ever listicle maker, God, the Ten Commandments. Is that not a listicle? I like lists. They're easy to remember. You can go through them. Anyway, two things that give me hope. I'm going to get to that in a second. But the Constitution is a document that is supposed to allow your natural rights. There was a renaissance of natural rights in the 1710s in our country. mainly thanks to John Locke, where people who were Protestant Christians, Bible believers, and there were others that were not, of course, but that was the main belief system in the country, started to ask really good questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Who's in charge? Can I do whatever I want to do? Why can't I steal my neighbor's stuff? How do we exercise our own system of government? And the founding fathers wrestled with this, and Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield and the founding pastors of our country, which, by the way, is a term we should talk about more. There should be the founding fathers and the founding pastors. Founding pastors of our country started to wrestle with these questions and instruct their citizenry to demand more. Once you started to demand more, this idea of a nation came, and they said, wait a second, we're more than just a bunch of colonies that are here to go make King George rich. We are freedom-loving, independent people. We can handle liberty, and that's the thing that's tough. I talked about this at Dream City Church, and not everyone can handle liberty. It's really hard. For a society to handle liberty, you need education, you need values, you need ethics, you need a church that is functioning. You need entrepreneurs, you need politicians that aren't corrupt. You hopefully have some form of local government. And the fact that America's lasted this long is pretty incredible. Because liberty is tough. That's why I'm going to get to the point of why I'm optimistic. I'll get to that in a second. But was America's founding, just like every other country, America's exceptional? In this podcast, I would not do it enough justice to say we're the first country ever to be founded on freedom and a declaration thereof. The Declaration is written like a legal document submitted to King George. It very well could have been our death certificate, but it was our birth certificate. Half of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were students of divinity. Almost every single signer of the Declaration were Bible-believing men that wanted to be able to be in charge of their own life. Self-determination is what the founding was about. Not being controlled. There are three types of social contract theory. We've gone through this before. And I hope that some of you have written this down or you've taught your kids about this, or maybe I've inspired you to read more about these things. And I try not to get too intellectual here. Happy to if there's people that have questions about that, if you guys ever see me at events. But I also want to keep this near the ABCs so that everyone's able to digest it. But the three types of social contract theory, Thomas Hobbes, John Locke, and Jean-Jacques Rousseau. What is social contract theory? A partnership, an agreement that you have with your neighbor to decide what government is going to be. So Thomas Hobbes wrote The Leviathan. He said that human beings in the state of nature, it's nasty, brutish, and short. He observed the English Civil War, and he saw people tear each other apart. I actually tend to agree with Thomas Hobbes' observation of human nature. It's a biblical view of human nature. However, Thomas Hobbes' conclusion was not so good. He said, since human beings are so terrible with each other, they need a dictator. Many of the 20th century leaders, Stalin, Pol Pot, Mao, they never said this publicly, but that's how they justified their power grab. People are so bad, they need me in charge to be able to regulate their behavior. Then Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who's closest to an American leftist that you might have living near you or teaching your children or teaching you, which is the idea of heaven on earth, utopia, a vision that we can create something beyond Earth. In fact, we can do better than the angels. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, and the social contract theorist, he preferred the primitive over the civilized, the infant over the adult. In fact, he preferred the adulteress over the loyal spouse. Here's an interesting question for you. What was the second best-selling book in Europe in the 1800s? Number one was the Bible. Number two, and we'll look at the title. I don't remember the title. It was Jean-Jacques Rousseau's romantic novel, talking glowingly about adultery. Jean-Jacques Rousseau had such an impact on European culture that if you go to Europe today, they have an adultery culture in Europe. They do. It's well known. They have a mistress culture in Europe. It makes people in America, your skin crawl. And the book was Julie or the New Hello, which is a French book, 1761, changed Europe forever. Okay, that was Rousseau. He hated commercial society. That's your leftist. Then there's John Locke. John Locke was a social contract theorist who rejected all that. He said, no, man in a state of nature deserves to be free. A moral claim to liberty. A moral claim to freedom. To property. You have consciousness. You have ambition. You have desire. And you're made in God's image. Those are the three different types of social contract theorists. By now, you've all heard me talk about how MyPillow is incredible. A lot of you are asking, how do I support Mike Lindell? Well, everything Mike Lindell makes is made in America. And a lot of you think that Mike Lindell is very courageous. And so if you want to get behind Mike Lindell and the work he is doing and say, you know what, Mike, I have your back, go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Kirk. Whatever you check out on MyPillow.com, use the promo code Kirk. All MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. You can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98, regularly $70. That's $40 in savings. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. If you want to support Mike Lindell and get something made in America that's awesome, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Support Charlie Kirk, Mike Lindell, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. I want to get to the two reasons why I'm optimistic, because Holly from Indiana and Andy from Texas and so many other people are saying, Charlie, why are you so optimistic? Let me give you two reasons. Two reasons. And you could tell your friends this. Share this episode with your friends. We've covered a lot in a short period of time. Two reasons why I'm optimistic. Number one, there are differences between states right now. Not every part of America is equally as bad. Florida is thriving and open with a courageous governor. New York is shuttered and closed with a corrupt governor under scandal. The differences of states show you that we are not all subject to a centralized governing authority under Joe Biden. That states can still have some self-determination. That's a really good thing. That should give you a glimmer of hope that we are not all under the edict or the centralized government authority of one man. That the states created the federal government, that the federal government didn't create the states. And the second reason why I am optimistic is the Constitution. The more I study the Constitution, the more I realize how hard their revolution is going to be in just one election cycle. The Constitution intentionally makes it hard, almost impossible, to take our God-granted rights away. It slows everything down, as we talked about with the Joe Manchin episode a couple previously. I encourage you to check it out. The fact that certain states are booming and thriving, happy and prosperous with balanced budgets, and others are not, should give you hope that there is still a state-based model that is working in our country, and states still have a fair amount of power in our country. That's a really good thing, that we have not eroded all of our states' rights. Now, anyone who talks about states' rights, immediately the left will say, oh, you just want to go back to civil rights, or the era before civil rights where it's just segregation, which is just nonsense. There have been so many reforms that have started in the states that have been positive for our country. So many that spread like wildfire, that a states-based system is one of the few reasons why America has some more staying power than Belgium or France, Nicaragua, Japan, the Federation of States, the United States of America. We cannot forget our states-based system and the Constitution. The tyrants and the despots, the dictators and the people that wish us harm, they're going to be running into some judges appointed by President Trump that are all of a sudden going to look at the Constitution and say, you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. I'm striking this down. Our courts with the Constitution, one of the few things we have left in our country. One of the last things that we have is a firewall and a guardian of our liberty and our self-representative government. The Constitution was not written for the times. It was written to stand the test of time. One last question here. Sydney from Vero Beach. We get some emails from her. Charlie, what is the basis of providing foreign aid in light of our astronomical national debt? There is no basis at all, except for the fact that our leaders get kickbacks and favors, both internationally and domestically, to give away your tax dollars and leverage your future children or generations' money and capital to go give it halfway around the world for people that do not share our values, that have no national security interest at all whatsoever. There is no basis, and we should talk about that more, that we should not give a dollar of federal aid, foreign federal aid, as long as Americans are out of work, our borders are wide open, and we can't even balance our own budget. Email us your questions, everybody. freedom@charliekirk.com. charliekirk.com should be your go-to destination for all news and information. Check out Turning Point USA. As always, if you're a high school student, get involved. If you're a college student, get involved. If you're a parent, go Go to tpusa.com and look at ways that you can get involved. We have our Young Women's Leadership Summit coming up. We want to pack it up. tpusa.com/YWLS. My fiance, soon to be wife, will be speaking there. That'll be great. tpusa.com/YWLS. Yes, only women are allowed. Men, you are not allowed to change your gender to go. Sorry. And so we have our Student Action Summit in July, and that will be something that everyone can come to, tpusa.com. You guys should just check it once or twice a day anyway. We're updating it more and more often. We have some big announcements coming there. Love hearing from you, freedom@charliekirk.com, and God bless all of you that email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. God bless you guys. Let's have a great week. Make it a good one. Talk to you soon.